And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Coming to you from Austin, Texas, but heard around the world on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, out of Nashville, and also on streaming audio on PowerOfProphecy.com 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can listen to this program in perfect clarity on the internet. That's PowerOfProphecy.com. Well, today we're going to be talking about a subject, well, I always enjoy this time with you. It's sort of our time to share some secrets. And this, dear friends, is volume 127. Let me take a little sip of my coffee because I need to lubricate my throat a little bit with some coffee or water because, man, do I have a program for you. We're going to be talking about the... Let me drink this little cup from this little cup of coffee here. There we go. All right. That sounds good. The World Economic Forum. I talked about that in my book, Dark Majesty. Maurice Strong went there 1 year and gave every indication of exactly where the Illuminati elite intended to take us. Economic collapse, world catastrophe, financial debacle, and people everywhere crying for the elite to solve this incredible problem that's going to be arising. Well, every year now, they meet in Davos, Switzerland, in an exclusive hotel. Beautiful scenery, of course, and I'm sure they pay $2,000 to $3,000 a night for their luxury suites. And they ponder globalization and how they're going to proceed over the coming year to enslave you and me and the other 6.5 billion inhabitants of this planet. I want to talk a little bit about that in a moment, but we're also going to look at some other things. Hey, you know, I don't follow David Duke a lot, Senator David Duke, former senator from Louisiana. And of course, the controlled media, the liberal Zionist media always portray Mr. Duke as a former member, even a Grand Dragon or something of the KKK, but that was 30 years ago. He hasn't been a member of that group all these years. That was when he was a young man. Some young people do foolish things. David Duke said that was a foolish thing for him, but they love to keep bringing it up over and over again. But he was on CNN, and I watched the segment that he had with Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer, of course, is a Zionist Jew, has his own program there on cable news network, and they invited David Duke on, and man, what happened was tremendous. I have to give David Duke credit. Probably getting me in trouble with a lot of people. And I'm not saying that I agree with everything that David Duke says. And I've never been a member of the KKK or any. I don't join groups. I did join the Air Force as a young man, just turned 18, spent over 20 years in the Air Force. And I loved to be in Air Force Blue. I must tell you, I'm a very patriotic guy. I don't like what the U.S. military is doing today in Iraq. I'm fighting that, but I still have a lot of friends in uniform from my days before I retired. I received a lot of commendations, including the Vietnam Service Medal for being over in Southeast Asia for several years. And I did my part, even though that was a bloody, unnecessary war. I knew it was when I was over there, but well, We have a constitutional rule in America. The military does what it is told to do. And so I went. And I went again. And that's just what happens when you're in the Air Force. You don't always agree with everything. We'll be talking about Jimmy Carter, too, today. Boy, they're after that guy, President Jimmy Carter. We'll talk about how the Zionists are after him. Then some people seem to be still after me. Here's a lady who just calls me ignorant. Says God is going to judge me. Well, I'm sure of that. But we'll have to see what she has to say. But there are other people that seem to love what we're doing here at the ministry, and I appreciate you. And I'm not mad at even the people that write me angry, mean letters. I pray for them, too. So, you know, don't write a mean letter to me because I'll get back at you. Let me tell you how. I pray for you. Sometimes that's the worst punishment of all, to pray for somebody. You know, Paul said that's the way to win people. It by being nice, by being good, by being helpful to those who are malicious and want to harm you, sometimes it's worse than heaping hot coals on their head. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They expect you see, to retaliate in kind. But when as a Christian you don't, instead you pray for them, you wish them well, well, that just confuses them. And sometimes it shows them up for what they are. They act so goody-goody and so sacred, but in reality they have a dark, black heart. And that's why they're accusing you. Don't ever forget that. Hey, we're going to talk about your home. Is your home really your castle? Well, evidently the Bush administration doesn't think so. And Congressman Charlie Rangel wants to reinstitute the military draft. Well, don't worry too much about it. We'll see just what's up there, what's really behind that. And did you know the Bible in the book of Revelation says that God is going to destroy them which destroy the earth? Well, I have a news item here that might relate to that. And man, it's pretty interesting. I hope I have time for all of these things and more about Americans might be tortured for refusing to show an ID in the future. Could that be true? The protocols of the learned elders of Zion. What exactly is that? And 9/11, we're still getting an onslaught of new evidence that it was indeed a set-up job, an inside job of our rogue Illuminati elite leaders. And then some things going on in Israel. Did you know that Reverend Ted Pike, a good friend of mine, says that Israel is nothing more than the whorehouse? Wow. Of the Middle East? The whorehouse of the Middle... Wow, that's very strong language, Brother Ted. I hope you can back that up. Well, you know what? He does. We'll talk about that as well. Hey, let's get right away to the Americans that were at this global... World Economic Forum, that's what it actually is. I call it a global forum. And it's on behalf of the globalist, of course. And you see, they have to get together and plot out how they're going to control us better. There's just a few of us dissidents, radicals, and rebels out there. You know, the kind of people that still believe in the old-fashioned gospel, that believe in Jesus, that are not Jewish supremacists. People that are not Zionists, people that still believe in the Constitution of the United States, believe in the sacredness of the family, believe that, yes, a home is a man's castle, and a woman's too, by the way. We're the enemy. We're the enemy now, and they've got to figure out how to enlist us, recruit us for their global plantation. These slave owners, and if we won't go peacefully, they need to figure out how to forces, how to drive us into their plantation. Well, I've got a lot of literature on what happened at the World Economic Forum. Of course, the world's press never tells you what happened behind the scenes. I don't think many in the press even know. But even what went on right in plain sight was bad enough. I have USA Today here in front of me. I have a picture there at the at Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum that was just held. A picture of Exxon Mobil CEO Rex Tillerson addressing a session on energy. Well, they got to plot out their oil strategy and how they're next going to conquer Iran. And how they're going to assassinate or drive Mr. Chavez of Venezuela out of office. I mean, they've already got Iraq's oil. And now they need Iran's oil and, of course, Venezuela. Two other countries that are among the largest producers of oil or petroleum in the whole world. They've got to have that. These are rogue nations that won't go along with the plot of the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the World Economic Forum, the World Zionist Congress, and so forth. Now, at this particular meeting, let's look at some of the people who showed up there. Of course, there was the usual culprits, you know, the head of Stephen Roach, the chief economist of Morgan Stanley Wall Street firm. There was everyone from, I can't even name all the Wall Street types that were there. The huge financial and insurance conglomerates, their heads were all there. Bill Gates of Microsoft, they say he's the richest man in the world, was there. All the oil company CEOs were there. 24 different heads of states, presidents, prime ministers were there, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel. She gave the keynote address. The Third World was represented by Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Hope I said that right. Pronounced it right. All in all, including Gates and others, there were 1,000 representatives from the world's largest corporations. Hey, you can see what they're all about there. In fact, it was like a fascist conference. Fascist, because over 1,000 corporate CEOs were at this World Economic Forum. And then a few politically active celebrities, such as U2, the music group's leader, Bono. Oh, yes, they had to have a few for the cameras. What an idiot this Bono is. He doesn't even know what he's doing, but he comes out there, looks like he needs a shave. Hadn't shaved in about 3 months, and people gravitate and say, oh, my, what a genius. Oh, sure he is. But listen, this is interesting. Now, this little bitty bit was sort of stuck in the middle of this article in USA Today. By the way, if you want the date of this, because every once in a while a person says, I don't believe you, Tex Mars. I always like it when they do that. And, you know, some of them, they'll call us here and say, I want proof. I want the date of this or that. I want the evidence. I want the source that you were citing. And you know what we tell them? Look it up yourself. Go on the internet. Call your library. Do some research for yourself. Quit depending on Tex Mars in the first place. Have you ever heard of something called rugged individualism? Well, get rugged. Go to the internet. Go to google.com, the world's largest search engine, yahoo.com, ask.com, answers.com, looksmart.com, all these search engines. Go there and dial it up. Dial up World Economic Forum. See what you can find, what went on. You know, I've had people that tried to disprove me. I remember one man, he bought my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, and he said, you had hundreds and hundreds of footnotes and references in your book. And I thought, I bet Mr. Morris made up all these references. I bet they don't even exist. So he went to one of the largest libraries, city libraries in America. He sent me a letter and he said, I intended to prove you wrong. I was going to expose you, Mr. Mars, for making up a bunch of fiction and putting it in a book. I spent 2 weeks researching all the resources that you had in your book. And he said, now I'm writing to tell you I am sorry I ever doubted you, Tex. And not only that, you were too soft on them. It's worse than you even write about. What you have reported in your book is only the tip of the iceberg. And he ended by saying, I am really frightened for America and for the state of Christianity today after I've done my own research. And you know, I appreciated that man writing to me. You know, the Bible compliments, God compliments a church. Paul talks about it. It was the church in a city called Berea. And Paul told them about Jesus and how Jesus was truly the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And the Bereans wrote him back and they said, well, we're going to study these things for ourselves and we'll get back to you. And they studied the Old Testament and they looked at its prophecies and then they looked at the evidence of Jesus. Remember, this was in the days when Jesus had just been crucified and there Paul had been appointed by Jesus as his apostle to the Gentiles. And here was this church saying, we'll study this for ourselves. We're not going to believe any man. We're going to look at what God said and we'll get back with you. We'll get in touch. And they saw, and I'm sure they prayed along with their seeking knowledge. They prayed for guidance from the Holy Spirit. And then they came back and told Paul, what you said is true. Praise God. Well, I don't know that that's not one of the most wonderful things in the world. Search it for yourself. Anyway, this is in USA Today, January 26, 2007. Listen to this little bitty item. It says, the well-heeled, that means rich, of course, men and women, by the way, this writer, David Lynch of the USA Today, the reporter, called this an annual conclave of the self-proclaimed global elite. The global elite. He says, the well-heeled men and women who frequent the earnest panel discussions and late-night dinners on esoteric topics, such as, quote, the age of the avatar and multiple identities, are the chief beneficiaries of the past decade and a half of economic liberalization. In other words, there, in addition to talks by the West German chancellor or president, same as the president, ExxonMobil CEO, Bill Gates, and many others, they have these strange esoteric topics. And they meet and they get information, discussion, such as, and as Mr. Lynch named one of these esoteric topics, and the title of it was The Age of the Avatar and Multiple Identities. Now, I knew exactly what that meant, having studied and exposed the New Age and the occult and Lucifer's satanic churches and cult systems for so many years. The avatar, of course, is a word that comes out of the Hindu religion, but it's been adopted throughout the New Age movement. What it means is Messiah. The Christ, the New Age Christ. The Messiah they're all looking for. The Jews are looking for a Messiah. The Muslims expect their Mahdi. The Buddhists are waiting on Lord Maitreya. And of course, then he has multiple identities. Many say the avatar keeps returning. You see, you might say they are dispensationalist in a way. There are various ages of mankind on earth. And at a crucial time at each age, a messenger, a man-god, a messiah, a great prophet is sent to steer and guide mankind through the perilous days. They say Gautama Buddha was one such man. Jesus was one such man. Zoroaster was another. Mohammed was one. And now they're expecting the greatest avatar of all. He will synthesize, bring together all the world's religions. He will be the reincarnation of all of the other avatars who have gone before him, like some kind of a super avatar. He will be a combination of Buddha, Jesus, Mohammed, Zoroaster, and all the others throughout human history. Of course, he will have a new name. The Muslims may worship him in one name, the Jews in another, the Christians in another, but he will have one name. There will be unity in diversity. Ah, now we get to the Council on Foreign Relations and its new program for a global spirituality. Unity and diversity at the same time. And now these men of the World Economic Forum, the greatest elite in this world, the most rich, most powerful men and a few women who met, and what did they study but the age of the avatar and multiple identities? Friends, if you don't think there is a need for Power of Prophecy ministries today, I cannot imagine. If you want to know of a ministry to support, friend, we need your help. We have got to get out this message to as many people as we can. There is a reason why I write books like Circle of Intrigue, Codex Magica, and do the videos and put out the newsletters, that we work as hard as we can here. I'm working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week practically, for you and for Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, who do you work for? And I say, well, I work for the people who get our newsletter, the people who listen to our radio program. But most of all, I work for Jesus. I've got the best boss in the world. He has the best benefits of anybody. You can't find the fringe benefits I get. They're not even fringe. They're just direct benefits. And he takes good care of me too. And I can go to my boss. He has an open door policy. Have you ever worked for a boss like that? My boss has an open door policy. I can complain to him. I can even go to him and tell him about those people who work with me like you, dear friend. Maybe you have a prayer need. I'd like to hear from you. Maybe you have a lack. And it might be money, it might be love, it might, I don't know what it is, but God can fill this void, this need. Maybe you're depressed, maybe you're lonely, I don't know, maybe you have medical problems. Don't deprive Tex Mars of a blessing. You see, I get a blessing when I go to my boss, Jesus, and say, this friend of mine, Lord, has a problem. Would you please help out? Because you may not understand this, but God inhabits our praises of him. That's what the Bible says. This is the most incredible thing in the world. When you praise Jesus, when you praise God, he inhabits your praises. Do you want Jesus to come in your life? Start praising Jesus. He will inhabit that. I don't know how he does it. You say, oh, that's magic. It's not magic. It is supernatural. The word is a powerful thing. I don't want to stretch it into this Kenneth Copeland word of faith thing, but what I'm trying to tell you is, don't try to command it yourself. Just ask Jesus for help. Pray, ask, plead. And somehow God inhabits the very words that you speak. Now remember, I'm not saying that you speak into reality big boats and luxury cars and big homes and jewelry and furs. Did I say that? Absolutely not. I am talking about joy. I'm talking about the prosperity of the spirit. And yes, we do have human needs. I would be embarrassed to go to God and say, Lord, I have a nice car, but I want to have a I don't know, a $250,000 Lamborghini or, you know, a Ferrari. I don't think I'd want to do that. I think Jesus might just answer, well, I'm going to, I think I'll give you an old Model T. I mean, you know, there are things I don't ask for because I believe that God is, he may not be too busy for me, but you know what? That just shows my greed when I go to God for those things. Lord, I need a Rolex watch, and they only cost, I don't know what. How much is a, I've never had a watch that cost over $160. That was a big deal for me, Sandra. Talking to Sandra, our engineer over here. Wanda surprised me that about 3 years ago at Christmas, you know. But I'd be embarrassed to ask God, give me a Rolex watch. I'd like, if I went to God and said, give me a Rolex watch, I'd like for God just to slap me beside the face. I think that's demeaning to Jesus. But in terms of your health, in terms of your loved ones, in terms of your basic needs, absolutely. And there are people today who can't pay their bills. And they work as hard as they can. There are people today who are divorced and it's no fault of their own. There are people today who are lonely because their loved one died of some terrible disease and went on to be with the Lord. And you don't think God cares? Of course he does. That's what I pray about. And there's some people who need a job. There's nothing wrong in praying if you need a job or a better job. So we get to the point, be careful about praying for big luxury items and all that stuff. But at the same time, be bold and go and ask God for big things. You say you've had a heart attack? There's nothing wrong. Everything is right by saying, Lord Jesus, I need healing. That's what I call a big thing. Let me tell you, friend, if you don't have your health, you can have a Lexus or a Cadillac. You can have a 60-foot boat. That is not going to do you a bit of good. And most of all, if you don't have salvation, nothing's going to do you any good. The Bible says you brought with you nothing into this world, and for sure you're not going to take anything with you when you go. You will not take one thing with you when you go of material value. Nothing. It'll all be here, you know, waiting for someone else. I promise you. There's no doubt about it. Bill Gates will not be the richest man in heaven. It's a guarantee. Now, I spent a lot of time on that, but you know, every once in a while, I just like to preach a little sermon. I hope you don't mind too much, but I mean well, but what I was getting at was I want to hear from you. I like to hear from you. Now, a lot of people say I don't want to bother texts. Well, bother me. I read every letter that comes in here, and I will pray for you. I promise you that. I will pray for you. And by the way, I'd appreciate if you'd pray for me too, for this ministry, for our continuing success. Oh, the devil comes against us, and I read things on the internet. I don't even recognize myself. They say things about me that, I mean, shouldn't be said about a rhinoceros in Africa on a rampage. But I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I don't even get mad at them when they say it. I told you I pray for them, and that hurts you more than anything when somebody prays for you when you've done them harm. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about Jimmy Carter. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So you stay with us because we've got a lot of important things. And I promise not to go on, well, I don't promise, you never know, but I'll try not to go on a rant when we come back, okay? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, as old Sergeant Friday used to say. Hey, we'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Secrets, Volume 127. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, a while back, I had some good Christian friends from down under. That's what they call, you know, Australia, New Zealand area. And they had done some terrific exposés of some of the biggest name Christian celebrities in the world. Men like Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Paul Crouch, Mike Evans, and others. And, you know, it goes on and on. E.W. Kenyon, Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn. And one of the things they had done that was very interesting, they had made videos on their television of these men speaking in tongues at various crusades, mainly on Trinity Broadcasting Network, but other networks as well. And they found something very mind-boggling about it. These people, Duplantis, Copeland, Evans, and others, Benny Hinn, they speak in tongues, but they, and it sounds like a bunch of gibberish. Now, anything that is of the Holy Ghost, I would not want to blaspheme. But what these men did was they slowed down the speech. In other words, it sounded like, you know, just a bunch of gibberish. Like, and you know they're false tongues as well as I do. And just as it's blasphemous to attribute something that is of God to the devil, it's also equally evil to contribute to say that something of the devil is godly. So I don't want to be caught in either pathway here. But here's what disturbed me. These friends down under discovered when they slowed down the speed of the sound system, they could hear incredible phrases, terms, entire sentences. For example, and by the way, I'm leading up to something. We have the video we entitled End Time Revivals Unmasked. It's almost an hour long. And for $24, that includes shipping and handling, we'll send you a copy of this video. We also have it in DVD, if you'd prefer the DVD format. So either video, VHS, or DVD, specify which you'd like. But they give instance after instance of these men speaking in tongues. First you hear them and you see them speaking in tongues, and then they slow it down. Slow the sound down, and you hear something coming out of these men's mouths, their lips, that is so evil that it defies the imagination. For example, Rodney Howard Brown, remember he called himself a Holy Ghost bartender? He started the big laughing revival. You'll see Rodney Howard Brown place his hand on a woman as the lady is babbling away in what is obviously demonic tongues. He lifts his hand off her head and she says the words, "All hail Satan." Yes. Wow. You'll hear Kenneth Copeland when they slow the sound down. It goes from gibberish. You will hear clearly the words from Kenneth Copeland saying, "Bastard, Master Satan, help me. I'm a demon." Now, Kenneth Copeland is speaking in tongues, but when you slow it down, he says, "Bastard, Master Satan, help me, I'm a demon." Mike Evans, a big Zionist evangelist in the charismatic area, says the words, "Take over my Satan. Take over my Satan." Kenneth Copeland is supposedly speaking in tongues, but you will hear him saying the words, "Yeah, I like my devil." Rodney Howard Brown at one time says, "I love the devil." Kenneth Copeland at one time, as he communicates with Rodney Howard Brown, they're on the stage together at this huge convention, and they're speaking back and forth to each other in what is nothing more than demonic speaking in tongues. And Kenneth Copeland says the words, "Tell my brother now, take the beast, take together Satan here. Yeah, have the mark from the beast." Take the mark of the beast? Now you may say, "Well, Tex, Maybe I could take your language and slow it down. I'll hear other words. I don't think so. Try it out. Get one of my tapes and see. I don't believe you will. Sometimes, you know, earlier in this program, I was on a rant. Get it back. See if you can see any of these words in it, if you hear them. I can tell you right now you can't. And I want to tell you why. Because I have the Holy Ghost inside of me. And I'm sealed into the day of redemption. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is not going to allow the devil to coexist with him. Did you hear what I just said? A person that's got Jesus inside him or her cannot have the devil at the same time. Some people have asked me, can a Christian be possessed by demons? Well, of course not, because a Christian has the Holy Ghost inside. And do you think Jesus will live in a temple? And that's what your body is. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You think that Jesus will live in there with the devil? You got to be nuts, friends. But let me speak it more clear to you. Do you think the devil can live in the same place with Jesus? No. The devil will flee. Don't you remember the story of the man in the tombs, in the graveyard, in the cemetery, full of a legion of devils, and Jesus just came near, and the devils cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, what have we to do with you? Why do you torment us before our time? Friends, I want to tell you something. When a Christian who truly has the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Bible calls it, in his chest, or in his heart, in his breast, wherever you are. I don't know where it's at, but it's inside of you. I want to tell you something, dear friends. When a man or a woman possessed by the devil comes even close to you, the devil is tormented. I have met people who were possessed, and I'm telling you, friends, my very presence tormented the devils in those people. I remember a woman at a prophecy conference I was at. She was telling me of a terrible problem she had. I was counseling her. She said, I've done things that God will never forgive. I said, no, you're wrong, my friend. God will forgive if you sincerely repent of those things. She said, no, I've done things God will never forgive. I said, would you like me to pray for you? She said, yes, I would like that. I gripped her hands, both of them in mine. And I before I began to pray, she looked at me very quickly, and I saw a frightened look on her face, and she said, there is only one thing. You cannot pray in the name of Jesus. Did you hear that? Yes, I'll allow you to pray, but you cannot pray in the name of Jesus. And she said, and she was frightened. I could see the frightened look, and she says, don't mention that name. Well, that clued me in on exactly what to do. I would never pray for anybody. What is prayer if you don't direct it to Jesus Christ? It's not even prayer. So I just bowed my head. I prayed for her, and I said, Jesus, lift this oppression, lift this horrible burden from this sister. Please, Lord Jesus, be with her. And I'm telling you, the devil in her was so tormented, that woman screamed at the top of her lungs. And I'll tell you, we were in a corridor. We were in a hallway of a large hotel where the prophecy conference was being held in Houston, Texas. And she began to scream out, and she said, I told you not to say that name. You understand what happened there? The devils in this woman were tormented by the very name of Jesus, by the presence of Jesus. I just kept praying. And you know what? She didn't leave. And then there were other Christians in the conference, and they saw what had happened. And they came and got around this lady and prayed and cast those devils out of her. You say, I don't believe that kind of thing, Tex. I don't care what you believe. The Bible has a lot of that in it. Those are things are true, dear friends. Now, we have this video. By the way, you don't have to believe it. Get the video. Look for yourself. You may say, oh, that's contrived. I don't believe it. That's okay. You can even return it. We'll fund your money back. I just want you to know about it. I want you to know the truth. Pray about it. Look at the video. End time revivals, because they claim there are big revivals going on in the world. And tens of thousands are going to the crusades of Copeland and Hinn and all the others. Well, see for yourself what they're saying in tongues. See for yourself if it's of God or the devil. If it's of God, then don't fight it. In his book, Occult ABC, and we offer that in this ministry, I think for, $20 plus $4 shipping and handling. Occult ABC. Everything you'd want to know by the occult, by the great German evangelist Kurt Koch. He passed away, but he was a great man, had thousands of true life examples of demon possession. This is the most incredible book you might ever read. Occult ABC, it's called. We have it for $20. I think we still have some copies left of that. He heard about this great healing, faith healing evangelist from America that was coming to Germany. And he determined to go with a Christian friend to see if this was true. And right there in this auditorium where they had thousands and thousands of German people that had come to hear this famous American faith healer, Brother Koch and his friend simply bowed their heads and prayed, and they said, God, if what this man is doing, if his work is of you, then let him succeed here tonight. But if this is not of you, if it's of the devil, then confound him and stop him from doing what he's going to do here tonight. Sounds like a fair prayer, doesn't it? And did you know what? That faith healer got up. They had their singing. They had their stuff. He got up to speak and to do his thing about the faith healing and all that. And all those people in the auditorium, and he announced something to the people. He said, I'm sorry, I can do nothing here tonight. I do not understand it, but there is a spirit here that prevents me. And he calmly sat back down. I believe that man was possessed with devils, and those devils told him, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing you can do here tonight. And they were probably frightened. Oh, I'm telling you, friends. Again, the video is End Time Revivals Unmasked. $24. That includes postage, shipping, everything. Get it. See for yourself. And I'll give you a refund. Send it back to me. But I think you'll want to keep it. Okay, let's return to our regular program. Oh, our address. Yeah, we got to give you our address for it and our phone number. Excuse me. Our phone number here, toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. Call 8 to 5:30 Central Time during the week. 8 to 5:30, that's our office hours. I wish we were open all day, all night, that is, but we're not. 8 to 5:30. If you're overseas, you can call us, area code 512-263-9780. Our address in that $24, ask for End Time Revival and Unmasked. Be sure to tell us whether you want the CD or the DVD, the DVD or the VHS video. And again, that book, Occult ABC by Kurt Koch, that's K-O-C-H. And he gives that example I just told you about what happened in Germany in there, by the way. You'll find out the name of that evangelist and other information. Occult ABC is the name of the book. I think it's about 300 and something pages in length, if I can remember. Quite a big book. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. Hey, Wolf Blitzer on CNN had David Duke. He had just come back from the Tehran Holocaust conference there. And boy, Blitzer and the boys at CNN, the Zionists there really intended to skewer David Duke. But it turned around and he ended up skewering them. Wow. One of the things David Duke said, Mr. Blitzer, why don't you admit that you're a paid agent for an Israeli lobbying group? You're a paid lobbyist. You're a paid agent of AIPAC. That's the American Israel Political Action Committee. Now, boy, Blitzer, I'm sure, I think he almost fainted there. I mean, he almost fainted. I could just see it was like, he was shocked. David Duke exposed Wolf Blitzer as an agent of AIPAC. And there Wolf Blitzer is one of the biggest commentators on CNN. Now, what is AIPAC? It's the biggest Zionist Israel Mossad agency in America. You say, Tex, can you prove it? Hey, go to Google.com and look it up. Two of their top officials of AIPAC have recently been indicted after an FBI investigation for spying against America. AIPAC. And they were working with a secret agent inside the Pentagon in Rumsfeld's Pentagon, Colonel Larry Franklin, and he was indicted last year and convicted and is being sent to prison for spying against America. Israel spying against America? You better believe it. And now David Duke, you can say whatever you want to about Mr. Duke, but he exposed Wolf Blitzer as a paid agent of AIPAC. Boy, they've got their agents everywhere, don't they? In the media. Wolf Blitzer, he almost died. Woo! It was great. I loved it. Hey, Jimmy Carter, he has a new book out now, and man, the Zionist liars are out to get him. His new book is called Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. That's right. And boy, does he ever expose the Zionist Jews, the Ashkenazi, them which say they're Jews and are not of Israel. He exposes them big time. And now they're out to get him. They're calling him an anti-Semite. Here's a man that, you know, you can say what you want. I know he's a little liberal and I wish he had changed. But don't tell me this man is not honest. Don't tell me that he's an anti-Semite. In fact, did you know that Jimmy Carter was the one who got Congress to fund the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., that has now become one of the biggest hoaxing, mythical things of the Holocaust, promoting Judaism and lies? Jimmy Carter was the guy that founded, he's the founder, the founding father of the Holocaust Museum. But to the Jews, it's what have you done for us lately, bub? And Jimmy Carter exposed the fact that it's the prejudice, discrimination, and the bigotry of the Jews who believe they're a divine race and that the Palestinians are nothing but insects. And basically, that's what Jimmy Carter says in the book. I'm paraphrasing, but it's true. He shows that for the last 30 years, there has not been a free and balanced discussion of these facts, that the media is biased. He even talks, by the way, in a recent TV interview, he called it the knee-jerk media. Knee-jerk. Whatever the Zionist Jews say do, the media does. Well, Jimmy Carter's not part of that. You can say what you want to about the man, the peanut farmer, the former president from Plains, Georgia, but he tells it like it is. He tells the truth. And every influential Jew, including the ADL and all the others, the AIPAC, boy, they're out to get old Jimmy Carter. And he just keeps plowing on. He's one of the few men that have not backed down. Marlon Brando exposed how much influence the Jews had in Hollywood. He was reduced to a blithering idiot crying and apologizing. Dolly Parton said, you can't do anything on TV without it pleasing the Jews. Dolly Parton, the singer, you know. Hey, within a week she was apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry. Of course, Mel Gibson, he was drunk when he did it, which was wrong. But he said the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. He told the truth, but they made him apologize. He had to go to rehab. I guess they think Jimmy Carter ought to go to rehab too, but I don't think he's going to do it. Well, I may be an ignorant man, though. Vicky wrote to me. She said, I see what you say about Joel Osteen and other Christian leaders. She said, you must be a miserable man, Mr. Mars. I would hate to live your life. But I'm not judging you, however. She's not judging me. I'm a miserable person, and she would hate to be living my life, but she's not judging me. That's what they all say. These people, they say, you should not judge, and then they go on to judge you. I love that, don't you? She says, if for some reason I die before you, when I get to heaven, I will ask God to take into consideration your ignorance before he judges you. Well, I sure appreciate that, Vicky. That's very, very kind of you. oh, I just love this. Let's see what else I've got here in our docket. Let's see. Yeah, the draft. Charlie Rangel, congressman from New York, wants to bring back the draft. Well, you know, in the last days of the Vietnam War, they changed the draft. They made it a lottery. And it went by your birthday, and if you got the wrong number, you had to go off to war. And, you know, they ended most of the exemptions, most of the ways people could escape going in service. They ended them, many of them, not all of them. And isn't it funny that shortly after the lottery draft was implemented, the Vietnam War just poof, magically ended. And all our forces were withdrawn. Now, they told us that if we cut and run, if we withdrew from Vietnam, the domino effect would take place and we would lose all of Asia, then all the world. Oh, look at what bad things are going to happen if you withdraw from Vietnam. Well, did it happen? Well, of course not. It was just a bunch of lies from the warmongers. Well, now they're saying the same thing about Iraq. If we cut and run, if we leave, oh, Chicken Little says the sky is going to fall and we'll lose the whole world of the Muslims. We'll lose all the Middle East, all the oil. Oh, it'll be so horrible. Oh, shut up. We've heard you people before crying wolf. You're just a bunch of warmongers. I remember President Dwight Eisenhower. I guess he finally got sick of it. He was in office 8 years and he gave a farewell address. Now, there's just been a few presidents and their farewell address. I remember George Washington was one of them. But Eisenhower decided to tell the truth. Guess he just got so sick of it. And he said, I, in my farewell speech, want to give a warning to the people of America. A warning against the unwarranted influence of the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex. The corporations. Their abuse of military forces. I want to warn you about that. He said America could lose all its freedoms because of this military-industrial complex, as he called it. The oil corporations, the others. And, of course, we're fighting this war for Israel, not for America. Now, friends, if we're going to have a draft, I have two people that ought to just go ahead and sign up right now and enlist. Show their patriotism. In fact, they ought to do it before the draft. Their father, George W., is asking thousands of troops to go over there and give their life. For what? We invaded the place. We took out Saddam Hussein. We've given the oil and the water that they had there to Israel. That's right. That's what we've been doing. And to the oil companies. And we've already had 3,500 casualties over there, and up to 700,000 Iraqis have died, and 2 million more have been maimed and wounded, according to many reliable statistics. And there are two people of draft age that have not signed up to go yet. Would you like to know their names? Their last name is Bush. That's right. Bush, Barbara and Jenna Bush. I want to volunteer them for military service. Don't wait for the draft, Barbara and Jenna. Go now. I mean, we have what they call a surge. Your father says, we've got to save democracy. We've got to save the world. We've got to fight the war on terror over there. Barbara and Jenna, stay out of the bars. Stop smoking marijuana and pot. Stop partying and running naked down the hallway corridors of hotels in Argentina, like I just read about recently on reliable websites. Stop all your messing around and your sex and your drugs and your alcohol, Barbara and Jenna, and put on army green and be patriotic for your country and for your father, George W. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd like to see those girls in uniform. I'd like to see them in boot camp. I'd like to see a lot of people. In fact, he still is of good health, Newt Gingrich. He says we're in World War III and we need to decide we're going to go over there and wipe out all those Arabs. Hey, Newt Gingrich, you'd look real good as maybe, private first class in uniform. Newt, go on over there. You lizard-faced guy, go on. Newt, the lizard Gingrich, I want you in uniform. Why do you want to send other people die? You're a draft dodger. You didn't go there during the Vietnam War. And George W., you... You're a draft dodger, you know that, you and Bill Clinton. Oh, come on. I like what George Washington did. He was commander in chief. And did you know there was a rebellion inside America shortly after George Washington took office? The Whiskey Rebellion, they called it, Shays Rebellion. And old George was president of the United States, and he put back on his general uniform and led the forces. George, what an example. George W., be a hero. Put on a military uniform and go over there and lead the way. Go down those streets where those explosive devices are. Show what a hero. Show what courage you are. You shirked your duty during the Vietnam War years. Now, George W., here's your chance as commander-in-chief. Go there and personally lead your two daughters, Barbara and Jenna. Your wife? Well, she can put on a uniform too. She can help out in the nursing department. She can help all those boys are being wounded over there, and girls too. Barbara and Jenna, privates in the U.S. Army, leading the way, going down there in one of those unprotected Humvees, wearing that unprotective body armor that Bush and Rumsfeld provided, that doesn't do one bit of good because it was built by Jewish owned companies who made millions off the blood of Americans. I've been researching that as well. It's almost too much. And I didn't get to the part about them which destroy the earth, God's going to destroy. But at a big meeting with environmentalists in Nairobi, Kenya, in Africa, environmental scientists say now we need more air pollution, not less. A Nobel laureate prominent scientist says a layer of pollution can be sprayed into the atmosphere and can act as a shade from the sun's rays, protect us from all that ozone. Now they want to spew pollution into the atmosphere to shield us from the sun's rays. It could stop global warming. Spew junk, trash, and pollution up into the atmosphere. You won't be able to see the sun anymore. It'll be a lot of gray days. But it could save Mother Earth, say the environmentalist. They say they love Mother Earth. And they are the ones wanting to pollute her. Or it, as we would say. Well, this is Tex Mars. We've been looking at some secrets. We've been having a few good rants here today and telling some truths like it is. Pray you'll be with us each week during this same time. Yes, tune on the same station and discover the power of prophecy.